the past few weeks, we've been talking about and thinking through the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. In considering what this is about, Gary read the verses there from Philippians 4:19, one of my favorite passages, where Paul says, I've learned the secret of contentment. Whether I have plenty or whether I am in want, it is my God who supplies all of my needs according to his riches in glory. That blends with this, doesn't it? Give us this day our daily bread. What do you think Jesus was alluding to when he made that statement? I think he was alluding to all the way back to the Exodus. There in Exodus 16, you see the story. It has been 45 days that the Israelites have left Egypt. They are in the wilderness. Now you got to remember, there are no stores. There's no oasis. They are just traveling from Egypt to Mount Horeb, where they will begin this journey, which will be a 40-year journey. What was initially to be a one-year journey became a 40-year journey. And during that time, how would their needs be met? Just the daily need of food. Where would that come from? Well, we see there in Exodus 16 that the people began to think, wait a minute, what have we done? We are out here 45 days away from Egypt, where there was food, there was meat, there were vegetables. It is amazing how your mind begins to think when you're hungry. Because Egypt was not a place that was a good place for them to live, but yet here they were thinking, what have we done? And as they began to murmur, and as they began to complain, Moses entreated before God on their behalf, and God says, this is what I'm going to do. And you know the miracle every day that took place, where this manna, and we don't know precisely what it actually was, but it was whatever it was, it provided for all of their nutritious needs. You read in the passage a little further, he even talks about there was a day in which he gave them quail for meat to eat. God took care of the Israelites. Every day for 40 years. And I think Jesus is saying this to them, to the disciples, when he says, here's how you should pray. Pray that God supplies your needs. That God gives you your daily bread. The very sustenance you need to live. Let's look at it in that way. I think sometimes in our American culture, we get so caught up on the things, we don't understand necessity. What is it that we truly need to live? And more importantly, which is what I want to talk about today, how God provides for those needs in our life. How does God provide for those? As I thought through this, the first thing that hit me, how does God provide for your needs? He uses you to provide for your own need, does he not? Look with me at Genesis 2. Verses 15 and 17. This is right after Adam was created. And right before Eve was given to him as his wife, his helpmate. And I want you to see what it says. The garden was prepared by God. Adam then, it says that God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it, to keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, "You shall surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Part of God's fulfilling our daily needs is giving us the ability to work. Our efforts. And if anybody understands that better than most are those of you who work the fields. That God uses your efforts to care for your daily needs, doesn't he? The job you have for some of you, he uses that so that you have food on your table. You have clothes on your back. You have a vehicle to drive. Okay, this is a side note. I've always wondered, what would it be like to take a disciple in a car? I know my wife's like, "Why are you bringing this up?" Because I just think it's funny. To be able to take Peter and just drive as fast as I can and just to see his expression. I want you to consider something. He gives you these abilities. He gives you your job to take care of your needs. It's his provision. He gives you things that you do so that you are able to survive. There were a few years there I stepped away from the ministry and I worked. And I started to think about this whole thing. What is the whole purpose of a job? We are not people created for our occupation. Our occupation is given there to meet our needs. And beyond that, our occupation is there so that we can be a light and salt in a world that needs it so desperately. It's a twofold thing. God takes care of us through the work of our hands, just like he took care of Adam and Eve through the work of their hands. And that's how he initially provides for all of our needs. Well, that's first. In fact, if you go to 2 Thessalonians 3:10, there was a group of those who professed faith in Christ who were so intent upon the return of Christ and believing it was so imminent, they quit working. And they just waited. And while they said, "We were waiting for Christ and praying for the return of Christ, the church, you feed us." This is what Paul said. He says this, "If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat." You see the importance of us using our abilities to be able to provide for our needs is a gift of God. And I think sometimes we don't see that. Your job is a gift. Your job is a blessing from God. Those of you who've retired and who are collecting from your Social Security or your retirement, that was something that you had earned as a gift of God. God provided that means so that you might live. Give us this day our daily bread. That's first. Sometimes he provides through your own personal family. You see, if there is a need, the first place a person should consider, if it goes beyond their ability to provide for themselves through God's gift, you turn to those that you're related to. It does begin with family. Family cares for family. In fact, if someone doesn't provide for his family, this is what Paul says about him. That if anyone does not provide for his relative, and especially for the members of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. That's sad. And there are people out there, even people who claim to be of the faith, who do not step up to care for even their own family. Paul says that person is worse than an unbeliever. So we provide for ourselves in as much as we can provide for ourselves. There are circumstances that go beyond us, and we have to trust others. And God uses the first people he uses to help us in those needs when we can't provide for our own needs is our own family. And we need to step up to that. Now, let me put a little addendum in here to that. We are not to enable someone who has a need because that person isn't willing to fulfill that need himself. Go back to 2 Thessalonians there. If you're not willing to work, you don't eat. That's important. Family cares for family. I want you to understand there's kind of a hierarchy here. God provides an ability that we have to care for our own personal needs. But there are times when we cannot provide for those needs, either out of work or because of health, that we cannot provide for our own needs. Then the family steps in. And God has provided the structure of the family to care for those needs. But then there are times where the family themselves are unable to meet that need, or in some cases, some families are even unwilling to meet that need. Who's next? You are. I am. It's called the church. The church is responsible for the meeting the needs of the people whose needs cannot be met any other way. Okay. I want to say something. One of the things that has affected the testimony of the church, I believe, was when government stepped in to take the responsibility of the care of the people from the church. Prior to all of the government help that we started to receive during the Great Depression, who took care of those needs? Who took care of the social needs? Who took care of the economic needs? Was it not the church? And it's easy for us just to say, go to this agency or go to that agency. And I'm not saying we shouldn't use that. No, don't, because you pay into those agencies. Your hard-earned money goes to support that, to help those in need. I'm not saying, but we don't, it does not then take away our responsibility to care for each other. How much more should we care for each other? You see, this is what made the early church, the first century church, the church. In Acts chapter 4, Luke describes it this way. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul. And no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own. But they had everything in common. I want you to understand that phrase for a second. It's not socialism. What he's saying is nobody had anything they weren't willing to share. If someone had a need, those who had were willing to give. He goes on to say, and with great power the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. We cared for each other. When the widows of the early church needed someone to care for them, what did the apostles do? They raised up faithful men of good rapport who would daily care for the needs of these widows who had nobody. Remember, James says, this is pure and undefiled religion, those who care for orphans who have no parents or family, and widows. Those who are in need fall underneath the care. That's how God provides their daily needs, is through the church. Through the church. Let me suggest something to you. One of the greatest testimonies we have to a world without love, without hope, is how we care for each other. By this all men will know you're my disciples, by your love for one another. Our Heavenly Father provides for our needs first through the efforts of our own hands, through the abilities that He gives us, so that we may work and work very diligently. He then puts together a social structure of a mother and a father with their children, and together through that, it provides for all of the needs, not just physical needs, not just material needs, but social needs, spiritual needs, relationships. And then if to go beyond that, He has collected you, me, the church, one body, many members coming together to care for one another until we all reach maturity in the faith, Paul writes in Ephesians 4. And that includes our daily needs. But then sometimes, God intervenes and does it very on His own. Miraculously. Oh, you've heard the stories. I don't know if any of us have been in that situation. But there are times where God intervenes and He will provide even when there's nothing that seems there to provide. You know this story. Jesus is teaching on the side, and there's over 5,000 people, and they've all come to follow to see Jesus, and they've all come to witness the miracles that Jesus could do, and they've all come to hear the teaching of Jesus, and Jesus then says, let's give them something to eat. There is no store nearby. There's no way that they can come. Let's give them something to nourish them. And they say, we have nothing except what? Two fish, five loaves of bread. And it says, Jesus ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. And then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides the women and children. Estimated over 20,000 people were fed with five loaves of bread and two fish. Sometimes Jesus himself steps in and does it miraculously. We go through the steps, personal, family, church, and sometimes Jesus. But I'm going to give you a real reality right now. You know this and I know this. There are people who go hungry every day. Good people go hungry. Christian people go hungry. There are places in the world where they even starve to death. How do we rectify that? Don't confuse the temporal needs with the eternal need. Jesus provides in the temporal to lead us to the eternal. The blessings we get every day are simply a taste of what our hope is yet to come. What is your need? What is my real need? Is it not to be forgiven of my sins, restored to my Creator, and given eternal life? And if I've received that, what else do I need? Everything else is simply the icing on the cake. He provides for us so that we might know him and we might make him known to others. But ultimately, if I have nothing in this world but Christ, I have everything because I have eternal life. Even if I have nothing in this life, I have everything because of Christ. Amen? Let's pray. We thank you, our Heavenly Father, for being the provider of all of our needs. The greatest need that you have provided, and the only true need that we have, is forgiveness and reconciliation and the promise of eternal life. I thank you for the daily blessings that we have that is simply a taste of what is yet to come. Thank you for how you care for us. Thank you for how you are guiding us and leading us to that day in which we will inherit forever the eternal blessing of knowing you. It is Jesus' name we pray.